The John chapter number 15, torn between preaching out of two different places today, and I'm pretty sure this is where we'll settle on preaching this morning. Just remember, our church family, as you look around, you see a lot of folks are out. There are a lot of folks that are sick. We ask you to remember Brother Stanley. He got the flu and got pneumonia. He fell at home and fractured his spine. They had to take him to the hospital the other day. He's been in the hospital since Thursday. We haven't put nothing out or announced it simply because he had the flu, and we knew that he was sick and not up for a bunch of visiting and a bunch of company. At the moment, Reba said every time he coughed or hurled or whatever, he just immense pain going down his back because of fracture in his spine from falling. And I was talking to her this morning. She said they're trying to get him out of the hospital, trying to throw him out. And she said he's just not ready to go. And she's really worried that they're going to make him leave. And the doctor's trying to tell her, oh, Medicare won't pay for it. She said, I called Medicare. They said they will pay for it. And he said, well, we need the bed. She said, well, he needs the bed too. He's sick, you know. So y'all pray for Brother Stanley today. Pray for George. Keep him in your prayer. And the many others that are sick. And bugs going around, touching lives everywhere. So just keep one another in prayers. And just pray that God would meet the needs according to his will. You know, this week is Valentine's. If you haven't told your Valentine how much you love them, you need to. Amen. I love mine so much, I got her flowers yesterday and didn't even know I got them for her. Amen. That's the best kind. Amen. I got home yesterday, been here working, and got home. She says, oh, thank you for my Valentine's flowers. She said, I just love them. I looked over on the island. There was a thing of flowers. She says, they're the prettiest roses in the world. I just love them. Amen. See, I love it when we've been married so long that now she even knows my heart. And she was at the Martins yesterday and seen them flowers and liked them and said, that's what I want. It's a rose bush I can plant. She said, it won't die like them other things. Amen. You know, St. Valentine was a Christian that lived 250 A.D. How many knows the story of St. Valentine's Day? A few of you do, some shaking their heads. He lived in 250 A.D. in a turbulent time in history when the Caesars were in transition. Julius Caesar had died, and after Julius Caesar, his empire began to diminish and to fall and lose its power. But in 250 A.D., Claudius Caesar was on the throne, and he wanted to build the army of Rome back up to its former greatness, but he realized that to get men to enlist in the army and to be a part of the army that he was envisioning, it was going to be single men that didn't have an obligation. The man's not going to leave his wife and his family to go be a Roman soldier. But they weren't enlisting in the numbers that he was wanting to see the enlistment take place in. So he devised this politically motivated, thinking it was a genius move idea, that he would just ban and outlaw marriage. Well, you know, if you can't get single men because they're all getting married, what do you do? You know, isn't that a political decision, the way politicians move? Well, he outlawed marriage. But Valentine, a Christian priest, refused to adhere to that edict because the Bible plainly teaches the marriage of man and woman. And Valentine continued secretly to marry couples that would come to him. And to make a long story short, he got caught and was put in prison and was sentenced to die. And many of the folks that he had married had come to visit him, and they would always leave him a little token of their affection and their appreciation for what he did. On the night before he was to be executed, or early that morning, whichever way you want to look at it, the jailer's daughter came to visit Valentine, and she'd visited him before, but this was the last time she'd be able to visit with him, and told him how much what he had done had meant to everyone and how much he meant to her. And on February 14th, 250 AD, Valentine was executed. But he had left a note for the jailer's daughter. And as she read the note, it was signed, "Your loving Valentine." Isn't that a neat story? As she read it, and ever since, couples that love one another just because they want to express their love and appreciation for Valentine have done the same thing. But my, what a love letter has been left us. What a love letter has been given to us. And we read all the way through it how, even though we don't deserve it, God loves us anyway. God loves us anyway. 1 John chapter 15, if you're able to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word this morning. We're going to read a few verses and share just a few thoughts about love this morning. Verse number 9, Jesus is speaking here. He says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, and for all these things have I heard of my Father, and I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." Brother, to know about theology, I learned from just one song, "Jesus Loves Me." This I know, for the Bible tells me so. The origins of this song are back in a novel written in 1859 by a lady by the name of Anna Warner. And one of the characters in the novel tells her young friend who is dying, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." To bring comfort to the life of a dear child who's dying. A couple years later, William Bradbury stumbled across it and he wrote the tune that went with this poem that was a part of this novel. And it took off like wildfire. It's been used to minister to people around the world because its message is so pure. Its message is so plain. Its message is so simple that no song has ever been shared, recorded, written, and used so many times as the words of the simple little song. We think of it as a children's song. Oh, but what a love song it is. Jesus loves me. This I know. Don't we share that song? Don't we share that with our little ones from the time they're little? Isn't that probably the first song we sing to them? "Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so." Isn't it one of the first songs that people can tell you that they ever remember hearing Christians or people that grew up in a church whatsoever, wheresoever. They will tell you that one of the first songs that they heard and one of the first realities that they come to know was, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. The Word of God is a love letter that's been written unto us, a love message that's been left for us throughout the ages so that we can tell others about the love of God. For God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us just as we are. He loves us just like we are. We don't have to change for Him to love us, but we change because He does love us. We change because of what He does for us. Jesus is telling His disciples, He's sharing a message about the love and the true nature of love with His disciples. And the underlying message of this words that He's sharing is, I love you. I love you. And I want you to know I love you. Isn't it good to know that you're loved? Amen. Isn't it good to know that you're cared for, and somebody somewhere, no matter if you think that nobody cares, somebody somewhere loves you. Amen. His name is Jesus. But you know, love is a funny thing. It's something that has to be received. In verses 9 through 11, Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If ye love my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus says, you know, we need to receive this love and abide in this love. Amen. You know, love, if it's not received, it doesn't mean anything to you. The love of God has been shed abroad to all men. Amen. Everywhere, men have heard about God's love for mankind. Yet many die and go to hell and perish without knowing God's love because they've never received it. Amen. If you're going to receive love, and if you're going to know love and understand love, we need to understand that love isn't something that we have in and of ourselves because of who we are. It's because we know God, and we know His love. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and verse 16, both, that he that loveth knoweth not God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. For God is love. If you are going to receive love, you have to receive God. If you're going to know love, you have to know God. If you want to understand love, you need to understand that love isn't an emotion that comes from within us. It's something that comes from God and that God has shared with us and comes through us. It comes to us. In verses 3 through 5, if you look up back up in John chapter 15, Jesus is talking about being the vine. He's talking about being the source. Amen? Amen. I'm glad somebody say amen. Glad somebody's listening. Amen. I'm going to go back to verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every man, or every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? He said, I am the source of everything that you need. He said, let my love abide in you. He said, even as I abide in my Father, amen, let mine abide in you. And if it abides in you, that it'll let your joy be full. The only way that we can receive and know and understand Christ's love and God's love to us is to abide in Him, to be a part of that vine. Amen? You'll never know what true love is until you truly understand the love of Christ and understand the love of God. You have to receive that and abide in that. The only way that you can abide in that is to receive it. The only way that you can receive it is to allow it to abide in you. Amen? Inviting Christ into your heart. Accepting His gift of love. Accepting the offer that has been made unto you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave you a gift. Amen? Because He loved the world. Because He loved you as an individual. He sent His Son to die for you. And He says, if we're going to understand love, and we're going to share love, and we're going to talk about love, and we're going to emulate love, and we're going to try to let everybody know that we have hearts of love and we care about them, we have to first receive love, because we can never share love if we haven't known love. Amen. Amen. You take over in some of the Middle Eastern countries and some places around the world, they take children away from their families and they raise them up to be warriors. They raise them up without emotion. They raise them up without knowing love or having any concept of love. And these children will go out and they will kill indiscriminately because they've been instructed to do so, because they don't know love. Love is a foreign thing to them. It's a foreign concept. And friends, we think sometimes that we understand love and we know all about love and we have a capacity to love apart from Christ, apart from God's love. We don't really truly grasp what love is all about. Young ladies and young men are attracted to one another, and immediately they think they're in love. Amen? Don't work that way. Most of them are in lust. Amen? And it's not just young men and young women. Men and women in general find themselves attracted to one another. A spouse finds someone at work he's attracted to. It's not love, it's lust. Amen? Amen. You see, we don't have a capacity to really understand love apart from God's love, apart from Christ's love. And the only way that we can understand that is to realize that we need that love. We need that gift that God has given. And the only way that we can have that gift is to receive Christ into our hearts, to accept what God has demonstrated by His love. You know, I graciously got my wife that lovely rose bush she was wanting. Amen. And she was so happy. You know how many times she told me last night how thankful she was for her rose bush I got her? Must have been 10 times. Oh, I know. Yeah, that comes without saying. Yeah. She wants it planted. Amen. But she was happy to get her rose bush. She would rather me get her that rose bush than she would long stem red roses, because she said they'll die. She received it. She's happy with it, even though she picked it out herself. That's the best kind of gift. Amen. You don't have to worry about whether she likes it, don't like it. Amen. Man, she's ecstatic. She told me all night long how thank her. She, did I tell you thank you for my rose bush? Did I tell you thank you for my rose? I'm not kidding you. Yeah. You know? And that's the way we should be with God's gift. Amen? It's the perfect gift. It fits everyone if it's every need. Amen. You can never go wrong. You know, sometimes I get her things and, you know, for anniversary a few years ago, we got a 7-foot snowblower for the back of the tractor. You know, I said, well, when you want to get out in the big snow, you're really going to appreciate that 7-foot snowblower. One year I got her a pig cooker. Now, how thoughtful is that? I said, you don't have to cook it. You don't have to do it. All you got to do is enjoy it. And she don't even like the pig. Amen. You see, you know, this one I know. There's no problem with it. Because she's happy with it. But you know, when God gives you something, when God gives you a gift, when God shares his love, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to wonder about it. Amen? You can accept it and know that he's given you just exactly what you need. She went to Martin's and found just what she wanted at Martin's. But Jesus said, you come to me, you'll find just what you want in the vine. Amen. Because I'm the vine. I'm the source. I'm the origin of love. God is love. Receive his gift. You talk to her after church, she'll tell you how much she likes her. She'll share with you how much she likes her gift. I can't explain to you how much she likes her gift. And I know she likes it because she told me 10 times last night how much she really liked it. Amen. You know, you're never going to be able to share love until you know true love. Amen. The origin of true love. Amen. See, you know what makes her love me the way I am and me love her the way she is? It's God. Because he first loved me. Amen. Not only do we need to receive his love, but we need to reciprocate. Amen. Now, you know, I buy her all these nice things, you know, snow blowers and, you know, pig cookers and, you know. Oh, 1 year for anniversary, we got a farm all sea tractor. Well, she told me to get it. Amen. It's a nice tractor too, ain't it, Adam? Amen. You know? But, you know, it's a reciprocal thing. You taking notes? There you go. How to make a woman happy just because she's the pastor. Amen. Amen. You know, for love to be expressed and to be shared, it has to be reciprocal. Mm-hmm. Amen? And she gets me things. And she shows her love to me. God has loved us. God has given us the gift of his son. But we have a responsibility to show God that we love him. To show God that even though he's given us everything, we love him. In verse 13, Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Christ is spending his last night with his disciples. This is his last time to share his heart and his thought with them. And he's told them that soon I'm going to be laying down my life. Soon I'm going to be dying for you. Soon I'm going to give everything that I am and everything that I've been telling you about. I'm going to lay my life down for you. He told them, says, no man takes it from me. He said, I lay it down willingly. But he didn't say he was the only one that could demonstrate that kind of love. He says, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. We read in accounts of war how men have won the Medal of Honor. Even though they were dead. Men seen a grenade thrown into a foxhole when he jumped on it so that he could save his comrades. Men seen danger coming and put themselves in the way to protect their friends and were killed because of their action. Men who seen a comrade or comrades in trouble on the battlefield and put himself in harm's way to rescue and to save them and died in the process. Demonstrated his love. He laid down his life. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:25 that Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. That sacrificial love, that giving love. There was times when we had nothing. I remember our first Valentine's together. We lived in Waukegan, Illinois. I was going to A school, just got out of boot camp and was fortunate enough to go to an apprentice program and get into an A school, which is some of the best schooling in the whole world. And she come up to be with me while I was in A school, and we lived in a little apartment, 17 Maple Avenue, Waukegan, Illinois, and right around the corner from this place where we lived, there was a little store. It was called White's. I don't know if anybody ever heard of White's. They're kind of Roses. You ever heard of Roses, White's, Silco's? You young folks are not. Yes, some folks are. Yeah, they know just exactly what I'm talking about. But they were just like little everything stores. They had a little bit of everything. Yeah, more like kind of like a Dollar General, only a little nicer. A little more expensive, yeah. And we was so poor. We weren't poor, we po. We couldn't even afford DR. Amen. And I mean, we lived, and back then an E1 made nothing. Am I right? Well, he come out. He got a boot camp. He was already. Yeah, he's three nuke. Yeah. He's already something. We started from nothing. Amen. And we couldn't afford it. She couldn't even afford to buy me a card. She would go down to White's and she'd look at the card. She'd read it. She'd go back home and she'd write the verse. And she couldn't remember it. She'd go back down around the corner. Didn't have cameras then, cell phone cameras and all that junk, you know. So she'd run back down to White's again and look. And she made me a card. Because she wanted me to know how much she loved me. And she had to put herself in there. It wasn't just, I'm going to go to the store and buy him a card. She dilly-dallied it all up and found the prettiest verse she could find. And she run down to the store 3 or 4 times to get it all copied out so she could write it word for word and put it in it. And when I come home that night, she gave me this card that she'd made. It meant the world. Because it was a gift of sacrifice. Amen? It was a gift of her. And even though it was somebody else's verse, she took the effort to go down around the corner to steal it. Amen? Or to borrow it. Amen? I mean, whether she bought it or just, you know, copied it, it's the same thing. But the thing of it is, she demonstrated her love to me. And I demonstrate my love to her. Jesus says, no greater love hath any man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, stop and think about how much God loves us. How much Jesus has given for us. And then think about how we can love him. You know, the Bible tells us plainly that we love God because he first loved us. You know, that's the only way we can understand loving him, because he is love. And the only way that we can even demonstrate and begin to share our love for him is because of the capacity for love that he's placed within our hearts. The rich young man, the lawyer, comes to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, you know the law. Keep the law. The law says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind." You know what God's saying he wants? He wants all of us. Amen? He don't want us just on Sunday morning. Amen? A love of God that's just on Sunday morning is not a love at all. Amen? A worshiping God that's just on Sunday morning isn't really worship. If you're not loving God and worshiping God and honoring God Monday through Saturday too, it's really not love. It's an obligation. You know, there are some people that, some couples that they say stay together just because they feel an obligation to their kids, or they feel an obligation to this or an obligation to that. And they can't stand one another. Some of them were in arranged marriages. Some of them have been in different situations. But they stay together just for the cause and just for the sake of. But God says he don't want that kind of relationship. He wants a loving relationship. Amen. He wants all of us with all thy heart. That emotional capacity, that emotional part of us. With all thy soul. That deep down eternal being that dwells within us. That part of us that never ceases to exist. With all thy mind. All thy strength. Everything that you have. Jesus said, "No greater love hath any man than this, and that a man lay down his life for his friends." How else can you lay down your life for God and reciprocate his love than to surrender all that you are unto him? When I got married, Brother Curtis right about here. We stood right about here and we said, "I do, and I do." And we ceased being two separate individuals. We became one flesh. Now we don't even have to talk to one another sometimes. We just look at each other. Sometimes something happens and she'll say, you was thinking this, wasn't you? She knows what I'm thinking. Sometimes she says, "Don't say it." She knows what I'm going to say. Don't say it. Why? Because we have surrendered everything. She surrendered everything to me. I've surrendered everything to her. Why? Because I love her and she loves me. Amen. You might not understand it. You might not care for either one of us. But praise God, we love each other. Amen. And that's all that matters to us. She sacrifices for me. She wants, if she cooks a meal, she wants me to have the best. If she makes something and one don't look as nice as the other, she'll make me take the best. She'll put it on my plate. She'll always make sure that I have the best. She sacrifices. She gives to me. I sacrifice to her and my way. Why? Because we're one. She's everything to me and I'm everything to her. I love her with all my heart. She loves me with all her heart. I tell this owner, she got upset with me last night. I went downstairs and sat in my chair. She got this CPAP machine. And they must have given her the Econo brand or something. That thing. How many here use CPAPs? Yeah? A few people. That thing of hers is annoying. She can't get it to stop leaking, and you'd be laying there about the time you're about ready to doze, and I'm a real light sleeper anyway. That thing will spring a leak somewhere. So she needs the thing. I mean, she stopped breathing 72 or 73 times in a minute or in an hour. You know, they said, you have severe sleep apnea. You need to wear this thing. She says she does feel better wearing the thing. But it's driving me crazy. I mean, every five, about the time you think you're going to doze off, that thing will it'll be leaking out this way. Be leaking out this way. I mean, it makes more weird noises. And that, since we got broke into, I'm a light sleeper than I ever was before. So every little noise, I'm wide awake. So I said, well, I'm going to go downstairs and sit in my chair where there's some peace and quiet and sleep. And she woke up and says, where are you? I said, I'm down here. She says, come back here. I miss you. So she said, what is the matter? I said, all the crazy noises, that stupid thing. They're sending her to get fitted for a different thing. But until then, it drives me crazy. So, you know, what did I do? I sacrificed. If I come to church tonight and I'm like this, you know, it's because of all the noises. You know? But I told her, she said, well, I'll just quit wearing a thing. I said, no, I'll sleep. If I got to go sleep in the chair, I'll sleep in the chair. You need the machine. It's the point I'm trying to make. You need the thing. Wear the thing. It's annoying, it's aggravating, it's frustrating, but you need the thing. When I cut my leg off, she said, I don't care if you have no legs. I'll love you anyway. I don't care if you can't do anything. I'll love you anyway. You see, she's committed to me. I'm committed to her. I'm willing to put aside the things that I want to do and the things that I like to do, the things I need to do. Because we're committed to one another. We've sacrificed our lives. And you say, well, I don't think of it as a sacrifice. If you're denying yourself for someone else, it's a sacrifice. Amen? She denies herself for me all the time. I deny myself. Jesus denied himself. He took up the cross. He went all the way to Calvary and died on an old rugged cross that he might demonstrate his love to us and purchase for us eternal salvation. And you know what he wants from us? To deny ourselves. To put him first. To give him the place that he deserves in our lives. A place that goes beyond anything else. Brother Delbert, I'm going to share this. He was sharing with me before service that Amy and all her husband, her kids, they all got the flu and she don't. Brother Delbert said, I told her, said, give them a kiss. She said, I ain't kissing them. She said, they're all sick. Amen. They're all sick. Can you imagine if God had looked at our sin and said, I ain't loving them. They're all sick. I'm not touching them. They're all sick. I'm not having anything to do with them. They're all sick. I could care less. And Amy cares. Now don't get me wrong. I just thought that just tickled me. I ain't kissing them. They're all sick. Amen. Well, Delbert didn't want to kiss them either because they were all sick. He was sending her to do it. Amen. But listen, God loved us enough that he demonstrated his love to us and that he was willing to die for us. He was willing to go all the way. He's willing to kiss us even though we're unkissable. to love us though we're unlovable, to care for us though no one else would care for us. So he tells us we got to receive his love, and when we receive his love, we want to give it back. When she knew I loved her, she started showing me she loved me. And then that love has grown. That's the way our love for Christ should be. Our love for God should be. It should be a love that grows, that never ceases to get stronger, that never ceases to get more amazing. When we, you know, ask some of the seniors in your church if they don't appreciate the love they have for one another more now than they did when they were kids. You know why? We get older, we find out that our families get busy. Hey, amen. We need each other more. As we get older, we find out that nobody understands us like we understand each other. You hear kids, I don't understand why they. You don't need to understand, you just need to accept it. That's who they are. Hey, amen. That love has grown stronger. That bond has grown closer. That's where our love for God should be. And when we have received that love and we have reciprocated that love and that love is demonstrated in our life and in our surrender and in our submission to Him and everything we do, then we recycle that love. See, the love of God's too good to keep to yourself. The love that we have together, the love that we share, was too good for us. We've tried to instill it into our children. We try to share it with those that are around us. We aggravate one another. Sometimes she says, we got to quit doing that. People think we're really fighting. And we're not. We just play with one another. We just aggravate, teasing one another. She says, we got to quit doing that. People think we're fighting. I said, it's fun, though. Let them wonder. Make them wonder. Make them think. But the one thing they should never think about, the one thing they should never wonder about, the one thing they should never take for granted is our love for Christ. Amen. It's something that needs to spill over, needs to spill out of us into others. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and baptizing them and teaching them in my name. Go into all the world. Go tell everybody else. Go tell everybody about how good this love relationship that you have is. Go tell everybody about how good it is that God has loved you and God has cared for you. That's why it says, these things have I commanded you in verse 17, that you love one another. That you love one another. We need to care for one another. This life is short. This life is fleeting. This life is going to one day be over. And the only thing that's going to matter, the only thing that's going to last, well, just like the poem said, just one life will soon be passed. And only that which is done for Christ will last. Amen. What is it that's done for Christ? Demonstrating His love for one another. Demonstrating His love. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I want God to know that I appreciate the love that He's loved me with, the love that He shared with me. I want the world to know that Jesus loves me. Amen. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Brother Jeff Faggart, when you talk to him, you talk to him on the phone or he texts you, emails you, his last line, his last word is always, don't forget, Jesus loves you. When I talk to him on the phone, I'll talk to you later, brother. Been good talking to you, Brother Dennis. Just remember, Jesus loves you. Amen. Jesus loves you. Everyone he talks to, everywhere he goes, I hear him say that. Jesus loves you. Go to a restaurant, and he gets into a conversation with the waitress. He'll tell him, Jesus loves you. In that deep baritone bass voice in between. Have you ever heard him say that? You've heard him say that, haven't you? Yeah. Amen. Jesus loves you. You know why? Because he knows what Jesus has done in his heart and his life. And he wants to reciprocate what God has done by showing his love to God. But he wants to recycle. He wants to share it with everyone around him. It's not something that you keep to yourself. It's something that you tell others. Because when you're a part of the vine, when you're a part of that is doing what God wants to do. In verse 16, he says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Amen. What fruit is it that we bring? Seeing others come to Christ. Amen. We're part of the vine. And the only way the vine grows is to produce fruit. And it keeps producing, it keeps growing, it keeps getting stronger. Receive God's love. Then reciprocate God's love. Show God just how much you love him because he's loved you. And then recycle God's love, sharing it with someone else. That's what love's all about. After all, why do men and women fall in love? So that they can start families and have families together and demonstrate God's love. How do men and women show their love for one another? By reciprocating that love. How do families go on? Because what has been taught and what has been learned is recycled into the next generation. And we keep telling them that love can overcome a multitude of hurts, a multitude of trials, a multitude of problems. Just keep loving like God has loved us. So we stand to our feet this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed.